our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will sing together out of Psalter 3, the first and the third stanza. Wherefore do the nations rage, and the people vainly dream, that in triumph they can wage war against the King Supreme? Christ his Son, a scoff they make, and the rulers plotting say, their dominion let us break. Let us cast their yoke away, their dominion let us break. Let us cast their yoke away. He mentioned Psalter 3, the first and the third stanza, and the fourth stanza.
Thank you.
scripture
reading for this evening you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 20 to the end of the chapter. We mentioned to you Matthew 11, starting at verse 20. But first we will do confession of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 20. And then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thus far.
Let us now humble ourselves before the Lord and ask him for his indispensable blessing. Lord, may that truly be given unto us, and may that truly be found among us, to humble ourselves before thee. And not only that, but only to bow under thee, the creator and upholder, and a faithful one, despite of unfaithfulness on our side. Lord, and we need to be humbled under thy mighty hand. For if we not be humbled, we will never humble ourselves. then it can at the most be an attitude. Then it can at the most be words. But then it is not in the heart. Then it is like a hypocrite who has the words but who does not have the matters. And Lord, there is a people that is so afraid for that in their own heart and life. And maybe they are in our midst, thou knowest. Maybe they have been in church this morning and no liberty to attend. And the devil came right after and said, you have denied your master. And others have attended, and the devil came right after to assault. And you have lied against the Holy Spirit, pretending to be something and to have something which you did not receive. And then the strife. And Lord, when we look unto ourselves, our sin, and the remaining sin that are yet there, best works defiled with sin, nothing in man, Lord, who can then stand? But what is it then a privilege that we once again may hear thy word this evening? And we beseech thee, Lord, for each and every one, that thou wilt be in our midst, and that thou wilt give what we cannot miss, be it well for the time and for eternity. That thou wilt open ears that we may hear, that we may hear our name, of who we are yet in our natural state, or also in the life of that struggling people, that they may hear the name of what thou hast done. Lord, if we yet live for own account, wilt thou then break the heart? Wilt thou then prick the ears? And wilt thou grant us that humiliation? Or that we not only have seen it this morning, but may experience it this evening. What it means to stand outside, and to have nothing in ourselves, but when that need be bound on the heart, Lord, and that cry may be born, have mercy on me. And then we are not too young for that. Our children, Lord, give them that cry unto thee, that godly sorrow that thou hast had in the course of the years also among them, and especially among them that received impressions, and whom thou hast prepared for that eternal life. And among our youth, maybe those that seek the pleasures in the world, others that are indifferent, and others that are serious, and they think they are yet on the way already, and yet without heart renewing grace, Lord, work mightily in their heart, and give them that choice of a Ruth that they never repent of. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God, that they have seen it this morning, what they cannot miss, and may receive that heart renewing grace and that cry unto thee. And those that are in the strength of the life, Lord, we can be so occupied with the things of time and sense. We can be so occupied with business, work, and family, and home, and self, that we forget and even become harder under it, that we one day have to die and meet our Maker. And Lord, who shall it be? Oh, bind it on their heart that a true conversion be given. And Lord, those
that are old, maybe weak in the body or in the mind or both, yet living for our own account, Lord, nothing stands thee in the way. Speak but one word, open the heart and break it to the fear of thy name. But Lord, also in the life of thy children, where thou knowest what they stand in need of, from the smallest in grace, the ones that are as babes in grace, who can only cry and sigh, and the ones who have been given to die at all that is no God in Christ, and are longing in that uncovering way for a token of thy mercy, that they may see something of that possibility of salvation outside of self, and those that may not deny that has taken place, for whom Christ became the chief among 10,000, and yet they miss the full application, and they miss the assurance in their heart. Lord, may be brought at thy table, given to eat and drink and a moment of rest. But Lord, those further leadings, they cannot do it with the past. May they hear the name this evening as well. And will thou richly work among us as congregation, with all the needs, the cares, the wants. Remember then, Lord, in this hour of reflection, when the question will come for each and every one of us personally, how that the case stands with us. Lord, we beseech thee that thou then be in our midst, and that thou would give to listen in the benches and in the pulpit, that thou wilt speak and thy servant may hear and thus proclaim, that it be good in thy house, and that it be experienced that the Lord is in our midst. Remember the labors that are awaiting thy blessing in the midst of the congregation. Lord, thou knowest the labors of elders and deacons, and if it may please thee within a certain time, thy servant, to be installed in their midst. Lord, we ask that thou wilt graciously remember this flock and grant them that new ones be born in Zion, and that thy congregation be edified. Remember the labors in the denomination, in the theological school, where everything be prepared for receiving instruction and for instruction and instructing. Oh, we beseech thee, grant thy help from the sanctuary, and that we then together with the brother student may remain a student at thy feet, that thou wilt speak and that we may hear. Remember, Lord, the labors in the mission field. Will thou send labors in the vineyard? Will thou send another servant in the mission field? And remember the entire team and everybody involved. Oh, that thy light and truth be their guide, and we may hear more and more from among young and older that thou still workest also in the mission fields. For there is but one name, there is but one work, and thy work is everywhere the same, where thou makest a poor sinner, and now that poor emptied sinner in Christ be reconciled to God. Lord, remember the labors in our care home. Oh, wilt thou remember the residents and the staff, and that thou also wilt visit Bethany, as thou hast done it in the Bible times where thou didst have a people. Oh, we have so much to ask. Remember our government, locally, provincially, and federally. Ah, will thou work mightily? Will thou break hearts? And will thou turn unto thee? We beseech thee all these things, not because of worthiness in us, for then thou must pass us by. But grant us also in this evening, also unto thy servant, a mouth to speak, and the thoughts in his mind, and the subject in his heart, that it may turn to thy honor and to thy glory, we ask in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen.
While your collection be received and the Lord bless thee and thy gifts, we will sing together from Psalter 183, all stanzas. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest, a captive in thy train. Rich gifts to thee are offered by man who did rebel, who prayed that now Jehovah, their God with them, may dwell. Psalter 183.
Thank you.
An hour of reflection, beloved, looks back to how it was this morning, not only for those at the table of the Lord, but for each and every one of us. Because dear children, young people, adults, we all need the same. We are all journeying, traveling through the time towards eternity. And then we heard it this morning, it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And now we reflect on that. Has ever a wonder happened in our heart, beloved? No, not in our mind. Not in our emotion, although it's not going outside of that, but it starts with the heart. And when the heart is renewed, that there is also a fruit in our emotion. And then there is a fruit in our life. It is a good thing, absolutely necessary, for what the Lord begins, He fulfills. And now there is a people upon whose heart that is bound. It is a good thing. Not it is a recommendable thing. Not it is an advisable thing. No, it is a good thing. That is a matter God's children cannot miss in their life. And for that reason, those words, it is a good thing, come back in the Bible. They are not only found in the New Testament, no. You also find them in the Old Testament. You find them in the book of the Psalms, where the poet of olden days, in that Sabbath day psalm, may start. May I ask you a question, beloved? Do you together as families on Sunday morning open the day and sit around the breakfast table and open God's word? What do you read then? It is a good custom in many of our families, and maybe also in your family, that on the Sabbath day Psalm 92 is read. And that starts so touching with, it is a good thing. So that was already bound on the heart of the poet of olden days. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to give praise unto thy name, O Most High. So what do we see here in the heart of that poet? That there is a desire, that there is a longing of a matter that he cannot give himself, that he may express in a longing and in a petition. In a longing, it is a good thing. He sees where it has to come. And sometimes it may be in his heart. When the Lord comes over, when the heart may overwhelm and the mouth may overflow, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? And then the poet immediately not speaks only about what is good, but then he also lifts his eyes up unto the hills, and in a petition may say, and that they give praise unto thy name, O Most High. So what is it now that this poet starts with in this Sabbath day psalm? With whom the Lord is, and what he is so worthy of to receive, the thanks and the praise. And children,
What is now the purpose the Lord has created man for on earth? That his name be glorified and that he be praised. And we have lost that since we left the Lord in paradise. But now the poet knew, and the Lord has taught him that, and that was bound on his heart, that that is absolutely necessary, that we learn something of that. Misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Maybe sometimes in our circles, a much forgotten part, when it is about the life of grace. Now that is why we have a reflection service, a preparatory service in which out of the depth we may cry unto the Lord, a service of the administration of the Lord's Supper in which the focus lies on the finished work of Christ for a poor and needy sinner, and a reflection service when this may be at the order, what shall I now render unto the Lord? And the poet knew he could not give that unto himself, and therefore he lifted up his eyes and heart unto him and sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And now as he learned that, he ends the Psalter, the psalm, with it, to show that the Lord is upright and that there is no unrighteousness in him. What is then left in the heart of that sinner? Not a cheering from on high, but a humble thanksgiving out of the depths. Who am I in my unrighteousness? And who is he in his justice and righteousness that he looks upon such a one as I am? And then there is a desire, it is a good thing, to give thanks and to sing praises. And may now the Lord press something of that in the heart of his people this evening. And may now the Lord show in the life of those that are yet strange of his, that it has to come there, and that then the eyes may be lifted up as well, and that it may be said, O Lord, teach me that ere I die. Shall we consider that? With the help of the Lord and awaiting his blessing, God's word, our text can be found in our scripture reading, Matthew chapter 11. And now thereof, verse 29. Hour of preparation, we thought about verse 28. And now this evening, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then we write under this text Jesus' instruction regarding true rest. Jesus' instruction regarding true rest. That instruction demands, it says, take my yoke upon you. That instruction teaches, for it says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And that instruction assures, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So the Jesus instruction regarding true rest, that instruction demands, take. That instruction teaches, learn. And that the instruction assures, and ye shall find rest unto, so that comes from above. That doesn't come out of man, that comes out of God. Ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Verse 28, beloved, has said it so clearly, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May I ask you, how was that in the week that is past and in this morning? Is there now a burdened and a heavy laden people? Is there now a people here in Cortland that has learned it with my burden of transgression, heavy laden, overborne, humbled low, I make transgression a people that cannot go one step further because they would succumb under that burden? And a people that walk in darkness and that have no light, that with Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress, oh, feel that burden pressing on their heart. Come unto me. And beloved, that call from the Lord is not without obligation. That to come unto him is not just optional. It is not that if the Lord says, come unto me and ye will find rest, and then it is all done, as if there is no fruit in the life of his people. Oh yeah, to come is indispensable. To come as a burdened and heavy laden one is necessary. Oh, there are nowadays people in all kinds of churches, and you even hear it sometimes among us, they say, yeah, but minister, you may come as you are. Now, that's right. But the question is not, what does the Lord mean? What do I mean with that? But what does the Lord mean with that? So many, they think to come as you are, with maintaining myself and maintaining the world and taking everything along, as if all those things can go with through the straight gate on the narrow way. That is an impossible case. Those deceive themselves. Oh, there were many in the days of the Lord Jesus who took this word literally, and who came outwardly, and nothing is wrong with that. I wish we all would have that tender life outwardly, living by the word of God. And they came because he spoke with authority, and not like the scribes and the Pharisees. They came because his teaching was so pleasant in their ears, and because they saw the miracles, and he said, never has anyone spoken like him. But as soon as they heard the truth out of his mouth and the warnings, and as soon as the Lord Jesus not only spoke the gospel but also the law, and he said, woe unto you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, woe unto you, Capernaum, when he said, but if you do not repent wholeheartedly, you will end up in outer darkness. Then they said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? That is a people who did not want to lose themselves, and they left, and there was even one among the disciples, there was a Judas, and there was even one later among the helpers of the apostles, and that was Demas. Can you understand how thou that God's true people are sometimes afraid for that, and are sometimes attacked with that? And then it is not in the words, because Judas, he used exactly the same words as the others. Am I he? But then that was a grief, and that was a concern in the heart of God's true children. But now God's true people, the burdened and afflicted ones, with the burden of the guilt, when they come, that has a fruit in their life, that will be seen. Right now, Christian,
in Pilgrim's Progress, and I said a little about it last Sunday, children, maybe you remember that. When he received that burden, he could not stay with that burden in the city of destruction. But there was no rest anymore. The fruit was revealed in his life. Yes, the tree is always known at its fruits. A wicked and evil tree cannot bring forth good fruits, and a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruits. Then there comes a choice in their heart, like as of a root. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. When God converts a sinner, then they are not right away converted. Then they learn, I am unconverted. Can you lay your heart beside that, beloved? There comes a change of heart. And there comes a change of life. Never forget that. A change of heart and a change of life. No, when the Lord converts a sinner, when they may come with the burden unto the Lord Jesus, and when he takes that burden of the sin away, then it is not done. Then they cannot say, and now I am delivered, and now it is all good in my life, and now I can continue. No. Have you ever noticed that difference between verse 28 and verse 29? We can say verse 28 is about justification, but verse 29 is about sanctification. When the Lord takes the burden away and gives them rest and he gives them peace, we heard it, then he does not give them rest forever so that they can lead back. No, he gives them then on earth a little pause. But here on earth, it is not a place of final rest for God's children. Then he demands, take my yoke upon you. So it is as if the Lord says, and now I take your burden away, and I give a yoke in the place of it. And what is now a yoke, children? Maybe we do not know that so well anymore in our days. But in the olden days, and you still see that among our Amish friends here in the surroundings, when they plow, they do it with horses, but in the time of the Bible, they did that with cows. They laid a yoke upon the shoulders of two cows who were before the plow. And that yoke that said those cows could not go in the direction they want, then there is not an unhealthy liberty, but they had to go the direction the owner wants. And in here, especially in verse 29, we have that picture of a yoke. In the last week we spoke about the professional water bearers, who had the burden of those heavy burdens on their back and neck. And in the beginning that was not so difficult, but the further they came on the way to the destination, then the heavier it seemed to be. And they could not deliver that burden of whatever it was from themselves that had to be delivered. Now, that burden taken, and now there were also those who walked through the streets of the cities with a yoke on it. And what is a yoke? That is a wooden beam, and that was laid on the shoulders, so against the neck. And on both sides of that beam, there was hanging a weight, a bucket, or whatever, in which the goods were transported from the one place to the other. Now the Lord says, I will take that heavy burden away, and I will give a yoke in the place of that. And what does that now mean? Well, that means that God's children when the Lord works in their life, and when the Lord gives a sight unto Christ, they do not become unruly. Not carnal. They do not say, and now I can do whatever I want. Let us eat and drink and be happy. My soul is delivered, so my body must die. Anyways, there were in the days of Paul also were people that thought that my soul, my heart is renewed. They thought, and as my life, I can do whatever I want because my body must die anyways. And then Paul says, God forbid. And he goes a step further and he says, if that is your life, whose condemnation is just. Oh, it is true. The Bible says that if the Lord shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But that freedom that God's children receive in Christ and his finished work, what has been signed and sealed in the holy table of the Lord, that freedom may not be used as an evil liberty to serve the world and to serve sin. That does not mean that there are no bonds. That we can say, let us eat and drink and be happy, for tomorrow we die. Oh, then the Lord says, there is in the life of my people also a yoke. Yeah, it's not a heavy yoke, it is a light yoke, it is an easy yoke. But God's true children will never use the freedom and the rest, the pauses the Lord gives them in their life to continue sinning. That is absolutely impossible. You know why? Because children, imagine in your thoughts a person with a yoke upon his shoulder, such a beam. Now if only on the one side of that beam was hanging a weight, what would then happen? That person could not bear it, it would just fall off. And if only on the other side would hang a burden, what would then happen? It would fall off the other side. Or if the burden would not be equal on both sides, then that yoke would always pull to the one side. Then it would yet be very heavy to carry for such a one that had a yoke on his shoulders. So what does that owner always do? When someone has a yoke on his shoulders, he makes sure that the yoke on both sides is as heavy as the other sides. Share the burden on both sides. And what does that now mean, both sides? Well, the Bible is so honest about it, that means law and gospel. That means learning more and more of death in Adam and life in Christ. That means the mortification of the old man to more and more hate sin and flee from sin, and more the quickening of the new man to follow him in all his ways. Take my yoke upon you. No, that is not the yoke of the Pharisees. That hang a very heavy burden on the one side, the side of the law, and nothing on the other side. Those Pharisees that made besides everything what the Lord has written in the first five books of Moses, they made 613 extra laws and commandments. Oh, what a heavy yoke and what a heavy burden that was for the people. You must do this and you must do that. And those people would succumb under it. But now the Lord Jesus says, take my yoke on you. My yoke. That is what he gives his people instead of the burden of sin. And he is not like a slave driver behind his people to move them forward. No, he is that good shepherd of his sheep. He goes ahead of them. My yoke. That means that yoke that he has obtained on Calvary's hill. That is that yoke that he obtained in the way of his suffering and death. That he obtained in the way that he had to succumb under the yoke of the law. Do this and ye shall live. The Father demanded all and everything from his Son, what his children had to fulfill and what they cannot anymore. He succumbed under, he had to die under the wrath of God and the curse of the law, to obtain a yoke for his children. When he takes the burden of transgression away, then he gives them the yoke that speaks both about law and gospel, about death in Adam and life in Christ. So do not think, my beloved, that after God's children have once been at the Lord's table, or when they may see outside of self and to Christ, that they can say, it is done and it is ready and I am arrived. God's children do not have an arrived life here on earth. They receive a yoke. No, not a heavy burden. And why is that not heavy? Because the Lord has shed his love in the heart, and there comes a desire to live according to his wills. Then it is no longer I must and I have to and I have no choice. But then they say I may. And they say, Lord, in us is no strength, but may thy strength be made perfect in my weakness. Take my yoke upon you. And the annotations by the Dutch Statenvertaling, they say here that yoke is about the demands and the promises. See, the Lord keeps the life of his children always balanced. It is not always only misery. It is not always only grief. But there are also those moments that their heart may overwhelm and their mouth may overflow, that they may hear out of God's word, out of the gospel, that there is a way of salvation, that they may hear that he becomes so precious. There are also those times that they may say, and say it from the rooftops when the Lord opens their mouth, hear ye what he has done for me. So there are two sides on a yoke. Not only the law, also the gospel. Not only to die at myself and all that is no God in Christ, but also to live in him. Take my yoke upon you. Why? Because the Lord wants our entire life. Take my yoke. That is not a one-time thing. The word says literally that is a continual matter. Take my yoke. You might say, is that then a matter that God's children can do with themselves? Are then the Armenians right? Can we then just lay the burden aside and take the yoke up ourselves? No, that is not what the Lord Jesus wants to say. But he speaks unto those people that have received that liberty in him. He speaks to that people that have come with the burden of transgression. And all who at the foot of the cross have lost the burden, the Lord take it away. And when he now lays instead of that the yoke upon such a person, he says, take it. In other words, receive it. Because the Lord does not only want your heart, but he also wants our life. He has a willing people. Take my yoke. That means a willing people in the day of his power. They are won over. What is that, a wonder? Because by nature we do not want that yoke. We sang it in Psalm 2, Psalter 3.
Let us cast his yoke away. It happened in paradise. That is your life, that is my life by nature. That is our old nature, people of the Lord, after received grace. Let us cast this yoke away and cast it, the burden away. We want to be free and we want to have liberty. But when now the Lord works, then he makes room for Christ in the life. Then he lays that burden on them. No, he doesn't lay that burden. That is already on us. That is the burden of sin that becomes the heavier and heavier. But those that are now worked out and may come unto him, may let to him, when he takes that burden away into that open sepulchre of Christ, he gives a yoke for the life of God's children. That's now reflection. How is that in your life? Take my yoke upon you. If we are yet strange of that, if you want freedom, liberty, no burden, then you do not yet feel the burden that you carry along and under the which you will die forever if not the Lord intervenes. Ask him, open thou my eyes and break thou my heart and bring me in the place where I do not want to bring myself and where I am not able to bring myself. And where is that? That is at his feet, where they may learn, that where they may be instructed how to receive that yoke and how to carry that yoke. We see that secondly, and learn of me, of him who bore the burden, the yoke, the entire life on earth, and especially at the end of his life, who was so obedient to all the commandments, who never transgressed and yet was made to be sin and was cast away, cast out, away with him and crucify him, who obtained that yoke for his people, and learn of me. And children, and how the Lord works, he takes his people on the school of grace. And at school you learn, right? When you come after summer holidays in a new grade, then you don't say as first to the teacher the first day, "Oh, I know it all already." But then you sit there to learn. And why do you learn? Because you do not know it yet. And learn of me. And what does now the Lord teach his people? To carry a yoke. Now, a person in the olden times, or cows in the olden times, cows that had to stand at the Old Testament farmers and the New Testament farmers, that had to bear that yoke and that had to go in the footsteps the farmer wanted to go, those cows had to learn that. And that was a difficult way. Paul had to learn that. And the Lord told him, "How often do you yet kick against the pricks? If those unwilling, unruly cows kick back, they kicked in the pricks, and from pain they had to go straight." The cows, they want to go all both the different direction. Now, that's now a typical picture of man, of you and me. We want all kinds of directions, but not the one the Lord wants us to go. And also a person who received a yoke, when he learned to be a yoke bearer, then not right away there was hanged on both sides of the yoke a very heavy burden. No. That was a learning process. And that is now exactly the case in the life of God's children. And learn. The Lord takes them at the school of grace. And there it starts, may I say it with all reverence, then it starts at the beginning. then it does not start in grade 12, ready to graduate. Many so-called Christians, they talk about it as if they are ready to graduate on the School of Grace, and they have never been in grade 1 yet. But the first things are learned, and a child that comes in grade 1, what do you learn there? You learn to write your name. God's children on the School of Grace learn to write their name. Sinner. Rebel. And learn of me. And can now such a rebel, can now such a sinner yet be saved? And learn of me. And what does a person learn on the school here on earth? That he makes many mistakes. And he learns from his mistakes. And learn of me. What do God's children learn? So often to be disappointed in self, yeah? That's a lesson that takes the entire life, to be disappointed in yourself. And to be disappointed in others. But also not to be disappointed in the Lord. They learn to know God, they learn to know self, and thus the Lord makes room that they may learn Christ. Like a Mary sitting at his feet, learning from his prophetic office. Learn of me, for I am meek. And what is meek? Meek is not just a character trait. The one character is more meek than the other. You sometimes rather deal with a meek character than with a different type of character. But meek is not a character trait. You see that in Moses' life. Moses, we read of him that there was not one man on earth meek like him. But that was not a man, not a character trait, because when the Lord called Moses for the third time, go to the rock and not smite the rock, but speak to the rock and it shall give water. Then Moses was so mad. Not a holy wrath, no. It fell in his flesh. It did not go the way he wanted, that he smote the rock. But when we read about Moses, that he was meek, more than any man on earth, then that is a fruit of grace. Galatians 5, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, patience, meekness. And what is now meekness? The Greek original word for meek means submissive. What a beautiful word, isn't it? Maybe you say, no, I don't like that word. Well, that tells me then who you are. Because what is now the lesson that the Lord teaches his people on the School of Grace? To be submissive. To bow under the Lord. If now a student in school always thinks he knows it better than the teacher, he will be put straight. But when our student may be submissive, then he dares to raise his finger and says, but I do not understand it. Oh, there you dare have a deep lesson in the School of Grace and learn of me, for I am meek, submissive. Christ, so submissive, already in the stillness of eternity, when the Father said, and whom shall I send? And how shall now that people that I love from eternity, how shall they be saved? Then he was so submissive that he said, and I come to do thy will. And when he came on earth, he was so submissive. The entire time of his life, so meek, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he said unto his Father,
Thy will be done. And when now that multitude came, then he said, if ye now seek me, let these go their way. And in submission, he had himself bound and let to his judges. Learn of me, for I am meek. Fruit of grace, Moses. May I come back to him? And how he received the two tables of God's law. And when he now came down from the mountain after 40 days. And all when he threw the stones and they broke because they had made a golden calf. And then the Lord said, Moses, allow me to destroy this people. And I shall make thee an even greater nation. Then Moses in received meekness fell on his knees. And then we read that 40 days and 40 nights. As long as he was on the mountain, that long he was laying before the Lord, and he did not eat and he did not drink, but in his meekness he pleaded with the Lord. What wilt thou do with thy great name? Moses knew that easy, that light yoke. He bore the people on his heart. You see, what is now meekness? That is submissive when it is about the Lord's will. And when it is about our will and our thoughts, oh, that we learn to bow. When it is about the truth, we do not waver. Meekness does not mean we waver. No. When Christ said, blessed are the meek, then they stand for the truth. They do not waver to the one side or the other side. And I hope that may never happen here in the congregation. And if that is your thought, you will be disappointed. And may the Lord uphold that in this midst. Not waver to the one side, nor to the other. Take my yoke and learn of me. And those both things, law and gospel, death and life, sinner and Christ, and how they come together. And now God receives the honor. And learn of me. But when it is about the truth, we do not waver. When it is about ourselves, oh, render not evil for evil. But when it is about the Lord, we may bow before him. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of hearts. Lowly. He did bow so deeply. We saw it at the table by broken bread and shed wine. How deep he was bowing. How lowly he came. And that for such ones. Learn of me, where he humbled himself unto death, innumerable reproaches, where he nailed the handwriting of our sins on the cross, so that they may be freed from that burden and may receive that yoke. Learn of me. Learn continually, it says literally. Because we are so proud, we do not want. And it is a continual lesson on the school of grace. Learn of me. Are there now such students in the school of grace? May I say it simply, children, here after a season of learning, you receive a holiday, rest for the body. But the students in the school of grace do never have holiday. They receive a pause. They receive sometimes a little break. Come here and rest a little. And they have no desire to take holiday from the school of grace, because there is a hunger and thirst. And learn of me, the chief prophet and teacher. Oh, then he becomes so precious. Are there no such ones in our midst? Now that is a people that may learn. And in that divine instruction,
also receive not only a demand, but also a promise. That you have it again, that yoke, to both sides. But shall we sing first? 4:15, the fourth. Good and upright is Jehovah in his dealings. Evermore sinners are by him instructed in the way and trod before. 4:15, the fourth. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. You see the same word as that we noticed the last week. And I will give you rest. And ye shall find rest. Same words. Or at least the same stem of the word in verse 28, it is written as a verb. I give rest is a verb. The Lord does. And here in verse 29, it is what God's people may find, an object, rest, a pause. And yet there is a slight difference. In verse 28, in that verb in which we read the word pause, it points to that the Lord gives refreshment during that break, that pause. And here, the word for pause means that God's children then may lay down. And children then as of themselves, then the picture of the sheep in verse 23 come to mind. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me. I will give you rest. He maketh them to eat. He has the table set there before his enemies for those sheep. And he gives them to drink. And what happens after the sheep have eaten and when they drank enough? What happens then, children? Then the shepherd is chasing them forward. No, then they may lay down. And when the sheep lay down, what do? Then then they chew the cud, then they ruminate, then it comes back. So what a precious picture for reflection. When now the Lord at his table refreshes his people, then they may at moments pause and lay down, and they may think about it, they may reflect upon it. That's what this hour is meant for. That's why we have a reflection service. Not to judge. Not to find this or that. But in the hope that there may be a people who, like with the sheep, are refreshed at a stable in that pause, may in that self, in that same pause, also for a moment lay down and reflect on it. What does the Lord then teach his children? Then they may live from what they have received. And then it can sometimes be that in an hour of reflection or the week of reflection, what he has given may come back. Once the Lord has spoken, twice have I heard it. The same base in this word, the pause, in the which the Lord not only refreshes his people, but gives them also a little rest and shows them outside of self, and ye shall find rest. There lies the fruit. I will give you rest. And when that may happen, then I will lay down and meditate upon his works. And I will give you, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That is there in singular and plural for each and every one of God's children. Has that now been true this morning? And has that now been true this Sabbath day, that we for a moment may lay down upon what the Lord has spoken and what the Lord has given? Ye shall find rest for your soul. And the soul, my beloved, is that immortal part in man that the Lord gives right from the beginning. And when a person dies, the soul goes to his eternal home. The soul never dies. And children, young people, I hope that you may think about it daily, that you carry a never dying soul along. And that the Lord will one day ask you an account of what you have done with your soul. And I hope that you may learn with David in the psalm, my soul thirsteth for thee, the living God. And here on earth, God's children may at moments receive a foretaste of it. And ye shall find rest in those pauses. I go back to school life, children. You come in school at the beginning of the morning. The teachers, they do not continue full speed from the early morning till afternoon, till you are done and you are let go. No. There are moments that you receive a pause, a break. God's children do receive that too in the school of grace. And ye shall find. Why? Because they are a missing and a seeking people. And ye shall find, because they cannot find it in themselves anymore. They've tried it. They've tried to bring anything, ever, something along to the Lord and his table. But they only were left with empty hands. That stripping uncovering work of God's Spirit is so necessary. In order that nothing is left from my sight, but everything may be seen in him. There you have that yoke again. Both side, law and gospel, the demand and the promise. And ye shall find, not ye may find. Or you hopefully find. Do your best and then who knows? Ye shall find. Rest. Those moments they may lay down in peace. And they may consider, not only and in the first place anymore who I am, but that they may consider who he is for such a one. And what is then left? The wonder that he has shown in my impossibilities. And ye shall find rest. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. No, that doesn't mean the Lord says my yoke is nothing, so that is an easy work. No. But the Lord makes it easy. The Lord gives strength and love and even a pleasure in it. Because the Lord keeps his people balanced, and that's why he gave a stable. That when they have to go into the strife again, and when the day of tomorrow so many things come unto them again, and they then may look back to what the Lord has done, may receive new courage. My yoke is easy. He gave strength. And why is his burden light? Because he first measures the shoulders and then lays a yoke on it. On a child in grace, he does not lay such a heavy yoke and big yoke as does he does with an adult in grace. The Lord knows exactly what his children need to make and to keep them humble. And my burden is light. Why? Because Christ bore for them the burden of God's wrath. That is unbearable. If they would have to bear it. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He bore the heaviest burden to deliver them and to guide them through his counsel and thus bring them into place. And not only the burden is taken, but also the yoke, because in heaven no yoke is necessary anymore. God's children do not need to be balanced anymore, because their sin and misery is taken. Deliverance is not needed anymore, that they may end in gratitude. At that marriage supper of the Lamb, taking up the cup and ending in him, thou art worthy to receive the honor and the glory. What a blessed people. Make ye then haste for your life's sake, that the Lord might teach you and learn of me these matters here in the beginning. And one day, when he brings them home, then they may sing, in God the Lord I rest. His word of grace I praise. It is a good thing to sing praises unto the Lord. Amen. Almighty Lord, what a wonder that thou takest a burden and givest a yoke. but a light one. The one that thou gave us strength to bear it. A yoke of which thou knowest what we need. And to Paul, a yoke of a thorn in his flesh. And to John, to be on Patmos. And each of thy children a different one. But to keep them balanced, to teach them law and gospel time and again. Lord, we acknowledge thee for the audible and visible word. Forgive our sins. Go with us. The week which we've entered in, give all that is needed. Look upon us in mercy. We ask for Christ's sake alone. Amen. 444, stanza 2. O bless the Lord, to all thy needs supplieth, thy soul with good. He fully satisfieth. The second of 444.
blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.